Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
It's amazing, Lord, what a beautiful song to sing. Lord, like we would say, fall afresh on me. We need the Holy Spirit in this country. We really need an outpouring of your Spirit on the body of Christ in this nation. Let the fire fall and cause all your people of the body of Christ in this nation to be raised up into prayer, into intercession, for the future of a nation is on the lips of a praying church. May God Almighty help the body of Christ to get on its knees and begin to pray, do intercession, get back to church, and a big revival that would sweep across this country with signs and wonders and miracles and all the works of God on display, that all might believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. You know, I was in view of this morning. I was sitting here, things I've typed, and I'm sitting and I'm thinking that if you, how many of you were here this morning? Let me see hands right now. Because of the blood of Jesus, God is right now with you. Because of the blood of Jesus, you can go nowhere without Him knowing exactly where you are. Because of the blood of Jesus, you have direct contact with the head of the church, even Christ the Lord, with the throne of God. Can you say amen? Because of the blood of Jesus, the testimony of the blood of Jesus in heaven above that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Because of the blood of Jesus, we may draw near through the blood, which is His blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant, and through faith in Him, we can draw near with our hearts assured in faith and holding on to hope, which is the anchor of our souls. Doesn't matter what the world presents us. Doesn't matter what the problem is. If we've got Jesus, we're more than conquerors. This is the victory, even our faith. Can you say amen? Now, you know, if you understand a very critical message this morning, for those of you that missed it, do get it on the internet and have a pen and paper with and check those verses, read them through, which I set in a sequence. They're actually still on my computer. Set in a sequence that the people might see the trail of the blood of Jesus all the way from where He was. He was at the time tortured, punished on behalf of us because of our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Then was placed in the grave after shedding His blood and cutting a brand new covenant, the new covenant in His blood. I say unto you, then He ascended on high, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now we know that in heaven above, the blood is there. It's the only blood in heaven that the Bible talks about, the blood of Jesus. Our flesh, our blood can never inherit the kingdom of God because we have fallen natures, but the blood of Jesus is there. And He's the head of the body, which is His church. We're also the bride of Christ. We are heading for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those who are through faith saved have repented of the evils of this world and turned to God and given God your full commitment, then you are on the road of eternal life and blessed forever. Can you say amen? So I thought, and it's really been bothering me a lot these days, because I need to tell you where I come from a generation where I was very much aware of my previous generation, the likes of Oral Roberts, William Branham, A.A. Allen, D.L. Moody, all those people that went before, Smith Wigglesworth. I was very in the picture with their comings and their goings. These were the old Pentecostals, as they'd say. These people have come through fire, and their ministries were known by the amount of miracles that would take place during those crusades. Huge miracle crusades. I think of A. Allen, how you would pray for people. They'd wheel them in on beds, hospital beds, and they take them straight out of the ambulance. They bring them down to the front, and people would lie paralyzed in the front of the church. He'd pray, and they'd be raised up and walk off that thing and be healed. Amazing stuff. The other thing that also hit me with that generation was those miracles were none of those miracles were temporary miracles. When they got healed, I think of William Branham, where he ministered to people. Those men, when they prayed for people, they were healed and they stayed healed from whatever that sickness was. God would heal them altogether. And it was amazing. In my studies, the manuals of Oral Roberts University, and also the books that came from there, and also the situation of other books that I had, like Winky Pratney on the subject of revival, All Things Are Possible by Edwin Harrell Jr. In all of these studies, I began to see that people were completely, totally, utterly, and really so healed that they were healthy after that. And I always aspired towards that. I spent my life prayed so many days, so many hours. Then I started accumulating knowledge. And really, I have accumulated knowledge. You make no mistake about that. And this went over many, many years. And it stuck in my mind because I don't forget these things. I remember them all. And so with that in mind, I began to think now with all of this knowledge that's in your head, I would construe like messages like this morning. The verses come like that in a row, just straight off memory, and I would call them up on computer like that in the same row and just put them in the same sequence, and that was what I ministered this morning. Just like remember it all. And with that being said, with all, I said to the Lord, with every scrap, every bit of knowledge you gave me, what is it in this generation? Now that we understand, particularly this morning's very, perhaps the most important message of the year, all about the blood of Jesus and the trail of His blood, you must get that message. You must listen to it. Listen very careful. Because if you are on it, you realize we're washed in the blood of Jesus. Now we are crucified with Christ. We're dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I have been crucified with Christ. Again, I have been crucified with Christ. I live no more. Galatians 2:20. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. By what? By faith in the Son of God. I began to see that the only thing that we need to know is this, that now through the blood of Jesus, even the propitiation on the mercy seat of the heavenly throne room, the entire situation in the presence of the holy angels, His blood is speaking all the time. And when you pray to God, it's instantly heard. You're connected, so connected. Most people, like I was praying this afternoon, don't even know how connected they really are with God. You don't go anywhere without Him knowing what you're doing. He's with you all the time. So once we become aware of the God presence, we can now walk in the God power. So what is then needed? Having been washed in the blood of Jesus, in eternal covenant with the Almighty God, what now is still needed? And I began to think. I began to think of this book, the Bible, and I began to think of the thing called faith, not works. I can't do anything. I can't water the church garden and expect to have a miracle. I can't, you know, paint the building and expect a miracle. I can't, you know, do things, do works, and expect that God's going to give me special favor, because He has done the total work on Calvary. I told you in my theological college days, there was a book called, and I'll translate again in English, Die Vollbrachte Werk van Golgotha. That book in English would say, the complete or completed work of Calvary, or Golgotha, if you will. the completed work of Christ on the cross. His sacrifice was so complete. What else do you then need? He's done it all. He's worked all works. He's fulfilled the law. He's walked a blameless life. He gave himself for us. He himself, Hebrews chapter number 9, enter once and for all before the throne of God the Father and through the blood of the everlasting covenant and made propitiation. In other words, settled the entire score for once and for all, made all things well, and now we can be blessed by Jesus Christ our Lord. How? Through faith. Now, Ephesians chapter number 2 talks about verse 9, therefore it is of grace that it might be according to faith. In the book of Romans 4, it says faith, that the end of that result would be the grace of God. This faith is what I am focusing in on. For the just shall live by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. If we understand the word of faith, if we only deep in our hearts, an evangelist, Morris Sorelli, used to say, put this in your heart. Write this in your spirit. Write this on your heart. When he explained these things, and there were miracles and wheelchairs, I saw his crusades, and how in those crusades they were carrying wheelchairs overhead. They just passed the wheelchairs to the front, put them on a pile there, and the people that came out of the wheelchairs walked to the front. Then what is it with this generation? Because can we leave this generation with empty hands without them knowing what God can do? The song goes, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll also do for you. Can you say amen? So if it is, what then is the whole situation? Now, my privilege then, with the word of God in my mind, I'm able to go like that across the word. Look for what I call strings of thought, interconnect verses in my mind, put the whole sermon, and it takes me literally 5 minutes, and then I construct after that for the weekend. And I worked through this, and I understood one thing clearly, and that is that when it comes to faith, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This word of God creates faith within us. When it comes to faith, it is, I've been saying it the whole last 2-3 weeks, it is 100% altogether trusting in the Lord. You give him full commitment, ignoring every contradictory sign, whatever it may be, any symptom, any other thing. By that faith has got to be so strong that it is beyond contradiction, pleasing to God the Father. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Again, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he who comes unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith. So faith either works powerfully, if I understand from where I come as a believer, my foundation is in place in the power of the blood of Jesus, in the power of the word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, which cannot be separated from the living blood of Jesus, which cannot be separated from Jesus himself in heaven above, which cannot be separated from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This living faith, the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of faith. As the Bible also says, we have the spirit of faith. Now, that being said, I thought to myself, faith is like, it's like absolute all or nothing. And once I've got the faith, I can behave the faith. So I typed here, I've got to make a decision, either to believe God or not. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's so easy to talk yourself into sickness. It's so easy to sit down and discuss the latest aches and pains. You will never get me to do that. In fact, I don't have that. But you will never get me to sit down and, Rudolph, I must tell you now about this pain in my knee. And this pain now is spreading from my knee. It's going up and down. And you know, I can already feel it in my ankle and all that sort of nonsense. In detail. And then you would say to me, ach, shame. Come, let me give you a little hug. Pat, pat, pat there. Nice little huggy, huggy. Don't cry. Don't weep. I feel sorry for you. But actually, I don't feel a single stitch of that pain. But now you know, that person goes like a cat that purrs. Getting attention now. And so people dote on their pains. They dote on these things. You never find me doing that. Never. I don't dote on pains and aches and whatnot. And so I don't speak it over my life. Therefore, I'm in health altogether. Age to me is now like irrelevant. It's altogether. I'm in health. Here I stand. God has spared me, but with a purpose, but with a purpose. He spared me. But I see people destructively talking sickness into their bodies. Now, in Romans 10, it says, we believe, therefore, we also speak. But I typed here today, faith can be construed, listen now carefully to what I'm saying. And if you could write this down. Faith can be construed as the act of spiritually drawing power from the Word of God. The promise-filled source of our hope, the Word of God, filled with promises. And then acting exactly in accordance with the Word of His power, Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. Now I know you're looking at me like that. What does Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 3 say? Well, it says this. God who at sundry times divers men has spoken to the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. How did He speak to us? By His Son. Whom being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding, Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, all things by the word of His power. By the word of His power. Okay? I can say a lot of things there on that one now. But the word of His power is actually a beautiful subject there. Upholding all things by the word of His power. Now again, faith can be construed as the act of spiritually drawing power from the word of God. You have to believe this book above anything else that anybody ever tells you. This book goes. Can you say amen? This is the way to go with the word of faith. It's from here. This is the word of faith which we believe. The Bible says all of Scripture has been given in by inspiration of God. The Greek for that is all of Scripture is, here goes the Greek, theophnustos, which means breathed in by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. All of Scripture has been breathed in by the breath or by the Holy Spirit. This book, when you open it up, you're looking at letters placed there by the Holy Spirit. You read those Scriptures, you take them in your mind, and you believe it. You believe it. You know, it's like you get these little Staffordshire Terriers, you get little Bull Terriers, you get different dogs that can bite like that. They bite and they won't let go. I remember a man with a Staffordshire Terrier would swing them around like that in a circle. That thing just wouldn't let go. It'll take a rag and it wouldn't let go. Whatever it takes, wouldn't let go. It's going to win the fight and it's not going to let go until it has won the fight. So when you do your faith, again I read to you, it's the act of spiritually drawing power from the Word of God, the promise-filled source of our hope, then acting and even speaking exactly in accordance with the Word of His power. What the Word says is what I'm now going to say. What the Word gives me to believe, that's what I'm going to believe. I'm going to act, I'm going to draw spiritually from the power of God within His Word. The word is, I said, quite unlike anything else that we have here on earth. The word of God is quite like anything else on earth. It's altogether Holy Spirit driven and supported by the sum total of the power of God Almighty. This book is supported by the sum total of the power of the Almighty God. This is His book. And He backs up His word. And Jesus is the word. Can you say amen? Amen. So here I have the source of both. It's like, I used to say to the students at the Bible school, faith is like, it's like a magnet that I see a thing, I pray for that thing, and I take hold of that thing, and I draw it from unreality into the reality. Never let go. The old Pentecostals used to say, never let go. And I'm like that. I say, once you've prayed, you've got to believe what you've prayed. So it's very much of a decision that is made. We have a choice. One decision: to believe this book above any other contradictory thing that exists on planet Earth. This is my life. I live by this word. This is the book that I built knowledge on. This is the number one handbook, should be the number one handbook at every single university, no matter where you go. This book. Can you say amen? And by this book now, I know what goes on in this book, and then I sometimes feel I don't know nothing at all. I would sometimes just shake my head. I look at the Hebrew, I look at the Greek, I look at the Aramaic, and I say, Lord, Lord. And what is, I mean, if you take, like, let me give an example. If you take power, then power could be dunamis, or it could be exousia, which means executive authority. It could be, for example, kratos, which means like strength, raw strength, power, force of God. So there are various names, all translated in here by one word, but actually several kinds of words, which they never put like that in these translations. With the result, you only see the one thing called power, and what you don't know, that one word actually could be any one of a few. Okay? So you have that continuously and constantly in the Word of God. And based upon that scripture, you look at that verse, you see, okay, that's what it is. That's what it actually is saying. And then you think you've arrived, maybe, perhaps, Dalt Miskin, perhaps, in grade one of school. You look at this book, you feel like you're forever in grade one. It's just like that it is. So you got to understand one thing. It's this book that governs my life. And it's a choice I've made. I scrapped, threw away all my postgraduate study, whatever I had, postgraduate. I just left it right there. Took this book. New prescribed book. The prescribed book. Dug my nose in it. Never took my eyes off it all these years. For many, many years now. So, now, it's a choice I have, this book, and believing this book, and every verse that's in this book. And when I believe that this is the promise, backed up by the covenant of the blood of Jesus for me, and you, and you, and you, and you. It is the book that gives a promise. It's yea, and it's amen. All of those promises in Jesus Christ our Lord. Ratified, established, empowered. There's another word there. Empowered by the blood of Jesus. Connected to the head of the body, which is the Lord Jesus Himself, being part of the body of Christ. When I touch anything here, I'm touching Him. I am part of Him. He's part of me and you. We are living in Christ Jesus. Now I might as well believe what He told me to. Now don't look at me like I'm talking Greek now, because that was plain English. I might as well believe this word. Can you say amen? Give Jesus a praise offering right now. And I might say this to you, a type of thing here. One decision to do a thing like that, like it's changed my life, forever has changed my life. Till the day I depart from this planet, if the Lord fetches us, or should I die and go on to be with the Lord that way, then I won't stop with this book. Not until the last breath. I can't stop with this book. It's that important to me. Every promise of God, yea and amen, no matter what the circumstances are, regardless of it all, this book, what it says, I believe it, that's what it is. Can you say amen? Now, very quickly, when you make a decision, that decision could alter the course of your life in a most positive manner. You have a choice. One decision can change you forever. In 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell the control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. In 1875, one vote changed France from a monarchy into a republic. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the United States presidency. One vote made him president. In 1923, one vote, listen to this one, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi party. One vote. And he was there. And from there, Second World War. Millions got killed. In 2008, one vote of faith in Jesus Christ can save you. In 2024, one vote of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, one decision. That decision can take you into all eternity, blessed forever through Jesus Christ. Just takes one vote. One decision can change, alter the course of nations. We stand before an election. It could at the end of the day burn down to one vote can change the course of this country. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a praise offering. And I typed, you can only overcome to the extent of the strength of your faith in Christ. You can only overcome to the extent of your faith. Too much negative talking. Too much moaning. You know, when Maud was talking there, and she was talking about the people murmuring out there in the wilderness. They were rebelling. They were murmuring. It took me back around about 1983. I was invited to speak, that's a long time back, at the Johannesburg main post office. Got the staff there, spoke to the staff, and what was the discussion? It was 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That day, round about lunchtime, I was there about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, spoke to the post office workers of that time. And 1 Corinthians 10 takes you through things that we should not be doing that Israel did. But we should not be doing those things, for these things that happened to them happen as examples unto us, unto whom the end of the age has come. So I took that, ran through that 1 Corinthians 10 section there. You start reading it. They're all baptized into Moses and the like, and it goes on. And then I thought to myself, you take that, you read that, and it says they rebelled, they murmured. And then I remember, and I could still see the Dakes Bible telling me, giving me a list of the things they did to get them out of sorts with God. One of the things is they didn't believe. Hebrews chapter number 2 tells you, therefore, because there was an evil heart of unbelief. Notice the word, because of an evil heart in a man. Heart filled with doubt of unbelief. Therefore, I swore unto that generation that they would not enter into my rest. You can only find rest for your soul once you fully believe, and disregarding everything else, you believe in this word and you take it and you do it. Can you say amen? Give Jesus a praise offering right now. Amen. Now, Here's a statement. Faith is the method of operation by which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit works. It's how God works. He's the God of faith. Now, I've got several verses, Hebrews 12, 2, Romans 4, 17, Hebrews 11, 1 to 2, John 14, 10. This, of course, can be on the recording that we have here. And so we know that 1 John 5, 4, for example, tells us, here I've got this too, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now, I want to close with reading from Romans 4 and maybe read here from the 16th verse, and then I can pray for people. And how many of you believe that if you believe, you not only be saved, but if you believe, you could see a better tomorrow? If you know, faith changes your attitude from negative to positive. And anything that wants to go negative, your faith will pull you back to the positive. You don't go around moaning, complaining, moping, arguing, whatever the case may be. Your faith takes you out of that negative mode. And you know what? Every single day that you wake up and you realize you're alive and you are well, you say, thank you, Jesus. And today, God will take care of your today every day. You need not worry about this, that, and the other, and another. You need not be concerned. He will give you wisdom. He will give you strength. He will give you the breakthrough that you desire. But even if you pray, you got to pray the word of faith. You got to pray by faith. Now, read this here in the book of Romans chapter number 4. And of course, we're talking about Abraham is the subject here. And I love this chapter in the Bible. I could preach every Sunday on this one chapter, and everybody would be very happy about this chapter. Now, in verse 16, I'll pick it up in verse 16. Here, in verse 16 of Romans chapter number 4. Therefore, inheriting the promise, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, the New Amplified. Therefore, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. Nothing that you can do. It's altogether faith. That's how important faith is in your life. That is, says the Amplified, confident trust in the unseen God. Professor David Block, when he was here, he said to the people, do you believe in gravity? You know, do you believe in gravity? And the people just sat there looking at him. And he says, now, do you think if you were up here and you walked over there, you walked off here, what's going to happen to you? Why is it going to happen to you? Because of what? Gravity. But can you see gravity? No. Is there a cloud of gravity going around here? No. Can you pick it up by a camera of some sort? No. Can you therefore see it? Can you touch it? Can you feel it? Can you handle it? But if you walk off here, you're going to fall. Now, for the same thing, do you believe in Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in Him? How many of you believe in Him? Now, that's good. Give Him a praise offering there. So those people are into physics. They believe in gravity, but they don't believe in Jesus. You know, it's just like stupidities forever. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and on. God speaks there in the Word. I think in New Living Translation, He says, I will destroy the intelligence of the intelligent and the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent. I'll destroy it. Where is the wisdom of this world? Where are the people that can stand and say, I believe, even though I haven't seen? Blessed is he who believes, even though he has not seen. If you tonight can believe for a miracle, you will have a miracle. You will receive it on the spot. Can you say amen? And let me tell you tonight, let me say this to you tonight. I prayed for thousands of people for miracles. But let me say this. Some miracles, from the moment of prayer, comes the change. From the moment of prayer, the person starts healing up. The person starts improving. Circumstances starts changing. And somehow or another, God takes them there. But it's like bad to pray for somebody who should know the word of God, Jacques, and you pray for them, and still you can feel you're praying against a wall. There's no faith there. It's like eyes wide open but shut. It's like, okay, faith is of the heart. Man, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in the blood of Jesus and you believe in the Word and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us and you believe in this book filled with the Holy Spirit being the Word of God in manifestation in our midst, if you believe in Jesus, you will have a miracle. If you pray, listen, begin to believe those things when you go home what you're praying about. But see that they're scriptural things, because you can't pray for anything unscriptural, because God won't answer that kind of prayer. But if it's a scriptural thing and it's right and it's just, you present it to God based upon this word of God, you will receive. Changes come. Maud and I have what we call faith project. There are certain things that they become projects. You know, we moved. You all know by now that Maud and I moved. But we have a house. We believe in God. The house will now be sold. Can you say amen? I'll take every amen I can get here tonight. How many say amen with me? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise of it. I'm going to feel real good on that one. Amen. The house will be sold. Amen. So what do we do now? Do we say, oh Lord, it's day number two. The house is not sold. An angel didn't come and didn't help us on this one. Oh Lord, what are we going to do? The house is not sold. What do? Thank you, Jesus, that the house is sold. From the minute that we prayed, that your house is sold, from the minute that you prayed, change has taken place in the spiritual dimension, and there's a miracle that's in your pipeline. Give Jesus a proper praise offering. Come on. I believed, therefore I spoke. I spoke because I believed. I spoke the word of faith over circumstances. And I believe in this book. Listen to this. Now it says here in verse number 16 of Romans 4. Therefore, 16, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. That is confident trust in the unseen God in order that it may be given as an act of grace. See, grace follows the faith here. Unlike Ephesians 2:9. But in this configuration, his unmerited favor and mercy, so that the promise will be legally guaranteed to the descendants of Abraham. If you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed, joint heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, how many of you believe you're part of the seed of Abraham? Absolutely. Not only for those Jewish believers who keep the law, but also for those Gentile believers right here in South Africa, 2024, who share the faith of Abraham, who is the spiritual father of us all. That's like it is. I think that's about as far as I'm going to go for tonight. And it's where I would like to take it, because there's a lot of people here struggling by faith. Now, let me tell you something now. You know, if you don't struggle by faith, because you receive by faith, and you say thank you after praying the prayer of faith. Is that right? She was telling a beautiful testimony of her father during the fire conference that came forward, and I was praying for the people here in the front, and she was saying, I should actually let her give the testimony. Okay. Let her do the testimony here. Give Jesus a praise offering. Amen. Amen. She brought her father, and her father had a situation. Just tell the people what happened here in the front.
Okay. Just wanted to testify about the miracle that God did for my father. I think it was in 2011, and my dad was like forgetful, forgetting things. He had pain on his waist, on his knees. He had like pains all over. We had prayed for him and believed God for him. Then we brought him to church during the fire conference. Pastor Harold didn't know who he was, and we didn't tell anyone. But Pastor prayed for him, and I noticed that when Pastor prayed for him, he went back to him, touched his head, touched his hips, touched his knees, and my father was healed. Because when he returned to his seat, he was just like, who are those people on the stage wearing white? I'm like, who? And he kept repeating, no, they're there singing. And it occurred to me that he was seeing angels. And my father went out of the church singing and praising. From that day up till today, he never had like pains on his knees or anything. And he was completely healed. And I really thank God for that. Amen?
Amen. Thank you. Now, that's just beautiful, because at the time of just after the prayer, his spiritual eyes opened and he could see people with white clothes here on the platform with us. Amen?
Amen.
He shall give his angels charge over thee. They will protect you. The covenant blood of Jesus Christ will connect you. The spirit of faith will drive you forward into a world where all things become possible. The mountains will move. Listen, somebody sent, I think it was Lydia that sent to Mort a thing, and I saw it. Funny enough, it was Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin. Was he ever a chaplain? I don't know. No, never was one. But he writes, he says, nothing on earth is permanent. Not even your troubles. Everything changes. Circumstances change. If you have a problem now, then does it mean to say you're going to have the problem for the rest of your life? Well, if you believe that, oh, you know, it's getting worse on me now, you know. I can barely lift the one foot, but at least the other one is still working. You know, that sort of talking, that it's like, come on, get out of there. Listen to the word of God. There's nothing a great one could believe. Can you say amen? Children can believe. Anybody can believe. The gospel is that easy. But it takes faith. Jesus has done all the work. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Is that right? Give the Lord a praise offering right now. Amen. Now, having said, I notice all the band is up here. They're sitting there ready. Marie's sitting like this behind the piano tonight. Now, Kurt's not here, but Marie is sitting here. She's sitting like this. And I say, and she goes. And I say something, and she goes like that. But now she's in between with the music. Amen. And I say, hallelujah. Then she says, dun, 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 dun. Amen. Amen. I want you tonight, in this last period of time, I want tonight to pray for people that really want a miracle from God. But you need to define that miracle. Because if you come to the front and you say, oh Lord, I need a miracle, you don't even know what it is. But you need a miracle. There are people here that want a miracle, and you know exactly for what. Furthermore, if you're a good, real, good, growing Christian, you will also realize that you will want to accompany your request with a verse. I won't ask you for that verse, but if you can't think of a verse right now, find the promise of God, a promise to you, a promise for your children, a promise for your house, a promise for your marriage, a promise that will provide in your needs, a promise for this, that, and the other. Now, there's going to be a lot of people to be prayed for, so I'm going to call on all the pastors to come and help me. If they step forward behind me or this side behind me, between me and the platform, we're going to have the end of this service on that beam. We're going to pray for people no matter what it is that you want. What do you want from God? What do you want from God? You want what? Save your husband, yes.
I don't have one.
Oh, you want him to... Okay, I get it. And a work opportunity? Do you believe that can be done tonight? Take my hand. I release that into your life right now. And I declare you as blessed eternally because of what Jesus did for you. And because of his word, I could say by the word of faith, he will supply in your needs. I can also say, don't worry about anything, but in all things from now on, through prayers, requests, and intercessions, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard over your heart and your mind. Okay? Now you look forward to fulfillment of what exactly you described to me here. Some of it is for your private knowledge, and some of it, of course, you can talk about. But those things there will manifest in Jesus Christ's name. Do you believe that? You believe it tonight. God bless you then. Amen. Some of these requests, I realize some people have got requests, and their requests are like, you know, you don't want to talk about it. You don't talk out aloud, but you do tell the person who's praying for you what it is that that person can pray more accurately. I'm going to ask all the pastors, all of you, just come forward. All pastors, out to the front, please. Pastors, pastors, wife, your wife can come with you. Stand with you if you want to. It's up to the wives to assist their husbands. And these people, they're all ordained ministers. These people I have appointed through the years, they have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on their lives. They pray every Saturday morning in this place, fireworks down over this place here in this building. This is a praying church. I said, this is a praying church. These are prayer warriors. That's why they're standing in the front. When they pray, they can cast demons out. They can do a lot of things. So if you have a request, no matter what it is, tonight is the night that God will change your future. If you believe. Now, it's up to you who believe. Let me say something now. It's not the person that prays for you that'll make it work. It is your faith. Everybody say, my faith. In other words, what do you believe for? What you believe for is what you will receive. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Yanni.
Righteous man.
A righteous man.
One.
Will be blessed.
The righteous man are blessed. And. And his children are blessed, yes, after him.
Yes.
I can see this is what they want. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. I believe not only for the blessing, but for the salvation of their children.
Amen.
Every one of them.
Amen.
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 Now, what's your need tonight? What would you like to have? Now, we're going to close the service this way. The music can play in the background, but you're welcome to come forward. And the Lord be with you after the prayer. You can go home in the peace of the Lord. And how many of you believe stronger than before you came to church? Now you're stronger in the faith. Can you say amen?
Baptism
I say.
Baptism as well, eh?
Yeah, there will be baptism for those who want to be baptized. Everybody to be baptized. Stay afterwards. Just go to the baptismal pool. They'll help you with that. And you can get baptized. We've got some stuff here to help you. So it is that important. But now, if you pray tonight, maybe it's your family. Maybe you want something very special in your life. Maybe it is a desire. Maybe it's a breakthrough. A breakthrough has already come to that family. And it will continue. It's only the beginning for that family over there. You came here because God sent you here. She became part of the household of God in this place. Listen, I was talking to somebody the other day and saying, you have your house, your family, your home and your family. The next step, you have your church. Those two components, those two things, stick to them with all your heart. Stay in the house of God. Don't drift all over the planet to so many churches and so many things all the time. Stay with the house of God that He shows you. Stay with your church. Stay with your family. Bring your family to church. Be in church. Some people move around so much that even the angels are looking for them. They're just gone. Nobody knows. Change of address. So if you tonight are saying, listen, I need something from God, come forward right now in Jesus' name. After that, those who are baptized can go forward to the front and they can get prepared for that. And all of you come forward right now for prayer. That's right. Okay. Here we go.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.